The reading this morning is from Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The act of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage and selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Amen. Thank you, Colin, for that very beautiful reading. And I'd like us to begin our Sunday series today on the fruit of the Spirit, which I've subtitled Living Lives Pleasing to God. Living lives pleasing to God. Verse 22 and 23 of the place we read says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Some people have noticed that in the ESV version, that is the English Standard Version, the fruits are divided into three groups of three. The first three have one syllable, the second three have two syllables, and the third three have three syllables. So reading from that translation, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. I would like to point out one, two, three, four words and groups of words, phrases from that passage. But the fruit of the Spirit is. Each time I read the scripture and this coordinating conjunction begins the passage I'm reading, I like to pay attention to what have been read before. So in this context, but as a coordinating conjunction is used to connect these contrasting ideas of one believer allowing themselves to be controlled by the acts of the flesh, as he says in 19 to 21, and also another believer showing forth the fruit of the Spirit in 22 to 23. I believe God's goal is for us to be like Jesus. Praise God. That is the goal of the Lord, for us to be like Jesus. And I also know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit constantly works in our lives to help us to rid ourselves of these acts of the sinful nature and for us to display the fruit instead. So the presence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is evidence that our character is becoming more and more like Jesus. And we don't get there overnight. Salvation happens instantly and our spirits are saved. But when our spirits are saved, our flesh and our soul, they are not saved. So this process of for us manifesting the fruit of the Spirit helps us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And the battle is like the gardener. Some of us have gardens. We know that we battle against weeds from time to time, trying to make sure that our garden looks the best, that the way we want it to look. So this is what the Holy Spirit does, trying to help us. Working in common. Yeah, the Holy Spirit doesn't force us to do it. It's a joint work with ourselves, sometimes stepping back and allowing Him to do these things in our lives. But He is the one that does these things to help us to weed out some of those acts of the sinful nature that are trying to choke the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we do this, giving Him control over our lives, He does this by shaping us, growing us, and helping us. There's something the apostle said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. I'll read it for us from the New King James. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same glory, the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are being transformed step by step, but we must make ourselves open to behold His word and to allow Him work in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit. Well, some people have said that this is sort of an uncountable noun, where there is no S in the fruit. And some also have said, well, the Bible didn't have any S in the fruit. But pay close attention. If I bother you with a little bit Greek, with the Greek root word of fruit, which is kapos, K-A-R-P-O-S. Kapos is in the singular tense, and maybe it could mean that these things that the Lord is doing is just one and one thing, but manifesting themselves in nine areas. It might not be that there are nine fruits. Remember, I said some people see it as an uncountable noun. Some people go back to the root word of the Greek, kapos. But maybe It's just the fact that something is being done in us by the Holy Spirit, but they manifest themselves in 9 areas, and they are always together. It's either one or none. It's never one. And I believe God does all these things in our life. The fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Henry, not your fruit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. He is the one that does these things in our lives. What we need to do, like I said, is to make ourselves open to Him, be transparent before Him. And I've noticed that fruits take time to mature, just like physical fruits, to grow and to mature. So when we come to Him, open ourselves to Him, and then He does these things, producing these 9 manifestations of one same fruit, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to grow. Nobody becomes a Christian and the next day they are, you know, quoting scriptures and they are theologians. And no, nobody does that. They take time to mature. And also, some fruits grow faster than others, isn't it? So some people's development might be a little bit faster than others, but it doesn't matter. We will all get there at some point. We will all get there. And so I don't get intimidated when people come up and say they've memorized all the Bible. I don't get intimidated. I don't get intimidated when people say they've fasted for 20 days and 20 nights. Or people, you know, say they've gone to the streets and converted everybody on the streets. Don't do that. The Lord works with us differently. But at the end of the day, we will all get there. The fruit will surely manifest in us. And again, when these things are growing, they will show. They don't hide themselves. When fruits are growing, everyone knows that they are growing. And so when people come along, they can't pretend so long. Yeah, if I come along pretending, before long, it will show. So the fruit will grow. They will surely be seen. And the evidence will be there that the fruits are growing. But what I want to point out is that they are not our work. It is the work of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. No matter what I do, how intelligent I am, no matter how many achievements I've, you know, accomplished, it is only the Holy Spirit that does these things. The fruit of the Spirit is. And again, some people also say it could be a question of singular plurality, or you might say collective singular. But all in all, it is one thing that the Lord does in our lives that manifests themselves in these graces, and that they, as they manifest, they will now produce love. If I say I have the Holy Spirit, like he says in Corinthians, and I don't have love, then I am nothing. If I say I'm growing in the Spirit and I have the Holy Spirit in me and He is not producing love in me, then it means He is not producing the rest. That's my point. There is no time I will say, okay, the fruit of the Spirit, I have gentleness, I have confidence, gentleness, I have self-control, for example, but I don't have love. It means I don't have any at all. So it is the fruit of the Spirit manifesting themselves in this thing, in these things. Let's go back to verse 13 to verse 15. For you, my brothers and sisters, we are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, do what? Serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly. You cannot really serve someone if you don't love them. If you do, that means you have something at the back of your mind. You're trying to get something. And that's what sometimes, maybe some politicians, not all of them, do in some places. Whatever they do, their policies, their manifesto, is that they're putting forth one hand in hopes of getting something. But if we serve someone in love, agape love, Christ's own love, not selfishness, then we will do that in humility. For the entire law is summed up in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. No one hates themselves in their right mind. No one in their complete right mind will hate themselves. So if you love yourself, you woke up this morning, you brushed up, you took care of yourself, you know, you found the best clothes to put on, you love yourself. You grabbed your breakfast. If you love yourself, do the same, the Bible says, to other people. The same way you nourish yourself, you take care of yourself, you look after yourself, do the same to yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Selfishness destroys. When people are selfish, they won't go far. But when Christ is in us, and when the Holy Spirit produces these character traits of Christ in us, we will not go on devouring one another, biting each other. We will discover that what we do is for the benefit of all. And that's how it should be in the body of Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. But remember to love yourself first. And there's this thing we do when we are growing up. If we are asked to do a head count, we begin from ourselves, with ourselves. You know, we count one, two, three, because you should love yourself. You know, some people, well, try to take care of others, but they don't take care of themselves. When you fly, have you noticed that the waitress and people who say these things, they will say, if there is a turbulence or problem, first of all, help yourself. Put yours first before you now try to help others. Because if you do try to help everyone without looking after yourself, you will crash. And I have always had this at the back of my mind, to help myself. Self-care. Take care of myself. Because if I am not here, if Judy is not here, for example, if we don't take care of ourselves as leaders, the fellowship will continue. It's not going to fold. So you will take care of yourself and also take care of others. The point is, don't neglect others while taking care of yourself. But do take care of yourself so that you'll be able to look after others. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So that's the one we are bringing today, highlighting that it is the Holy Spirit that does these things in our lives. And then we must have all of them, beginning with this one. I don't know why it began with this first one, but some people also, some scholars have also said that maybe the fruit of the Spirit is only love, and then the other ones are offshoots of love. There are many things people, you know, bring to this verse. But the thing is, love is the first one, and then others follow. I would like to conclude by reading that 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I've read this from the NLT version, and I love it so much how it is put here. If I speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I will only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and if I understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but don't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I will have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. These things look easier read than done, but with the help of the Spirit, I say again, it's not my work. It's me stepping aside, allowing the Holy Spirit to help me produce these fruits in my life. He does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. And the apostle goes on to say, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put childish ways away. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. And he concludes in verse 13, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The greatest of all these things is love. So whatever we do, serving others, serving Christ, if it doesn't come out of love, then it is nothing. In fact, we might as well forget about it if we are not doing what we do out of love. And the love here, remember, is agape love, the love of Christ. And we will conclude with this hymn, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You." Why I have picked out this hymn is that there is a point there that says, when you are serving others, also allow them to serve you. Make sure you are not only loving others, make yourself lovable also. All right? But first of all, let's conclude with a brief prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we set out looking at the fruits of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you will help us, Lord, and walk in our lives, that we will grow and mature and become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, on our own, we are not able to do these things. And so we invite you specially to help us to walk this walk, that we will become more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray you also help us to love other people outside, not just people inside, but those who are outside, those who don't know you yet, those who will come in contact with, those on the streets. The other day I was just going past and I saw people sleeping rough. I didn't speak to them, but I stood by and just said a prayer for them. I said, Lord, may you please bless them, protect them, even as the days grow darker. Lord, may your love flow from us, through us, and bless this community, and bless our neighbors. Above all, Lord, may the love of Jesus Christ remain in our hearts, to the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.